Hello, this is the couch in the lounge room that is ABC Radio National. This is the place where we sit with our thoughts and we externalise them every week. Our thoughts about streaming and TV series. I'm Jason DeRosso, and sitting here with me every week is Wenli Ma.
Hello. I like to think of it as le salon.
Le salon. Yes. It's not as posh as that word would suggest, but I'm going with it. It suggests that we're more intelligent than perhaps we are, I like that.
Yeah, it's philosophical. It's exchange of ideas.
Yes.
Gertrude Stein is somewhere, you know, sitting behind us.
Sitting behind us, yeah, behind the cat. That's where she was. We are talking about the Legally Blonde prequel this week, and boy, are they pushing this. I texted you on Sunday morning as I was driving through the inner West Sydney neighbourhood of Newtown to tell you that there was this pop-up shop dedicated to that Prime have set up. It's all decked out in pink with pink velvet ropes outside.
Yes, so there's a pink feathered marabou rope. I went along, actually.
Yeah, I was wondering if you did.
I did. And it is a like vintage store. So they just had one side that was all, you know, Valley Girl pink stuff. And on the other side was all black and grunge from the 90s.
Okay.
Yeah. It was fun.
But as I say, they're really pushing it. Which I find interesting. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Look, let's talk about the show and maybe sketch the synopsis. This is a show also, I should say, that's already been greenlit for a second series. So it's really interesting talking about a show that you already know is, in the eyes of the studio, a success. But it is, as I said, a prequel to the Legally Blonde movie. It's set in 1995 and it's a storyline in which Elle Woods is a high schooler who is forced to relocate with her parents to Seattle. So cue the culture clash. It's pink versus plaid. It's sunshine versus rain, pop versus grunge, zines versus magazines. Let's hear a little bit of the trailer.
We have something important we want to talk to you about.
Elle, we're moving to Seattle.
Yeah. It doesn't sound right.
Nice umbrella.
Thanks. It's an heirloom.
She's joking. You look like an idiot.
Take this pink ribbon off my eye.
I'm Elle.
What?
I like iced coffee, the month of July, and when people dress kind of tennis-y, even if they don't play tennis.
Did someone put you up to this? Don't just think I know exactly
where I stand. LA. Yeah, that explains it. What's wrong with LA? I feel like I really speak the same language as anyone here.
Well, have you tried learning their language?
What do you mean?
Get fluent in Seattle.
Get fluent in Seattle.
And what a disastrous attempt that was, too. She took a Nirvana t-shirt and zhuzhed it up with love hearts.
Yeah. This is, should remind listeners, this is only a year or less than a year after Kurt Cobain's demise. Untimely.
Yeah, so I think the show is set kind of September 95 to like January 96.
And who's this for?
This is my big question. I don't know who this is for because the Legally Blonde movies came, well, the first one came out in 2001 and the next one came out, I think, 2003 or 4. So if you were young at that time, you were probably in your 30s, 40s and onwards now. I think this show is too young for adults. Like, it's not one of those young adult, you know, high school shows that adults can get into because of the nostalgia. I feel like it's all coded a little bit too junior. But I also think it's a little bit lame for actual young people.
You might be right. We should remind everyone that Legally Blonde was, of course, directed by an Australian, Robert Luketic, who doesn't seem to have anything to do with this.
No, but Reese Witherspoon is an executive producer on this.
Yes, yes, who, of course, was the star of the first film. No, I totally agree. It's quite junior. If you liked, especially the original film, which had a certain nastiness to it, it wasn't in the era, but it sort of comes after, films like Heathers and so forth. So there was a bite to it. this show doesn't really have that. There are some kind of, not subliminal, but there are some gags, some knowing gags for people who want all the pop culture sort of jokes and, you know, the 90s gags. If you were there, you will know. If you know, you know. It's all that sort of stuff is going on.
I mean, there's like a moment when one character says that he was going for Jordan Catalano and I'm like, oh, a nice My So-Called Life gag.
Yeah, yeah. It's, so there's a bit of that.
Yeah.
Which you think is, I guess, there to service the adult section of the audience. But I agree with you, essentially, this is quite an innocent show, actually.
It's very wholesome.
It's wholesome.
There's, like, no sex in it.
There's a first kiss, I think. Am I wrong?
Yes, I think there is. And that's sort of it. And she's 16. And if you think of that era, like, it is, you know, they do make references to American culture and American current affairs at the time. They're talking about, you know, she mentions Bosnia or somebody mentions Bosnia. And so there are, it is situated within a time, but I feel like it is more morally of this era where there is this desire for something that is wholesome, that is uncomplicated.
Well, certainly not something like Beverly Hills 90210. You know, it's nothing like that. Look, it is a season, this season, first season, because there's going to be a second. And I'm kind of curious as to why they believe in this show so much. But this is a season about falling in love. It's about dealing with grief. That's a big pivot about midway through this season. But it's also this kind of learning to accept what you can't change and learning that sometimes the world changes you and it's winning over your enemies. And it's this kind of search for consensus, and it's her learning about social justice.
It is, which is also exactly what happens in the movie.
Mm.
So it is repeating those thematic strokes of the film. Like, they have said this is a prequel, so it exists in the same continuity, but I think it works better if you think of it as a reboot.
Yeah.
And as not part of it, because otherwise you have to kind of believe that Elle Woods then at some point went back to California for college and had an amnesia episode and forgot about this whole
experience.
I totally
agree.
Because otherwise the movie doesn't make sense.
The movie doesn't make sense. That journey of self-discovery in the movie doesn't make sense. And the discovery about, you know, things like social justice doesn't make sense. It's fairly well cast, I think.
The cast is good. Lexi Mindtree, relative newcomer, plays Elle Woods. I think she gets the intonation and the tone down with what Reese Witherspoon was doing, but maybe a little more grounded. I think the movies are probably a little bit more arch. She kind of looks like Reese Witherspoon at times, certainly when she's like scrunching up her face and crying. The rest of the cast are all pretty good, but I do think most of the characters are indistinctly written, especially the high schoolers. I think June Diane Raphael, who plays her mum, is a scene stealer, as she is in almost every project.
She's really good. Remind people what she's been in.
She was in Grace and Frankie. She's been in like a lot of those kind of, you know, not necessarily Judd Apatow, but maybe Judd Apatow-esque comedies.
Yeah.
Never really a lead, but I think here she's got some emotional beats that she gets to play that maybe the others weren't necessarily given or rose to.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all a bit generic, but there are good bits.
Look, I would also say, and I think the dad's character is quite funny as well, because he takes to Seattle. I mean, he's this plastic surgeon that's kind of escaping LA because of a scandal involving a nose job on a celebrity, I think is the...
Very LA.
You know, and I think this is a show about parents and a daughter really as well. And I think especially a mother and daughter relationship.
Yes.
I think I could imagine a mother and daughter watching this, maybe a daughter being younger than the age of
Elle Woods.
So maybe
Elle like 12. Yeah, I think a 12. Maybe that's who it's for. Maybe it is
I
for
reckon it would work best
the tween.
For that. Yeah.
Yeah. But it would be fun if those 12-year-olds then go back and they're just like, Veruca Salt, Soundgarden, you know, there's a music budget on this show that is insane.
Well, yeah, it's Jeff's company, man. Yeah, he's got the money to
Amazon
do it.
Money.
Jeff Bezos' money. Okay, that's Elle season one, streaming on Prime Video, 6 45-minute or so episodes. And
10.
As we said, oh, is it 10?
It's 10.
10, yeah.
Or was it 8?
Oh, you're gonna have to look it up, dear listener.
Sorry.
There's a few. There's more than 6. Why did I write 6? I don't know. Season 2, however, has already been greenlit, so there's going to be heaps and heaps and squillions more. So, it's coming for you. That's Elle, and we're both a bit mixed on it. All right, nominations for all categories in this year's Emmys are going to be announced this week.
Yeah, in a couple of days. A
couple of days as we record this midweek on Wednesday. And so we thought we'd talk about Widow's Bay, which seems to be, I mean, it's already concluded first season, but it seems to be already people are talking about it as a front runner.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the breakthrough series of this Emmys year, much like The Pitt was last year.
Yeah.
That Widow's Bay seems to be dominating the conversation because it's really great.
It's a great comedy,
I think. It's a great comedy and it's a horror and it's really, really great mix of those two tones. And those two genres are both about timing. And it is created by a comedian, well, somebody with a comedy background, which is Katie Dippold, who's worked a lot with Poor Feig, Spy.
And she wrote on Parks and Rec,
and she was on Parks and Rec.
And this has that kind of office comedy dimension.
And it's got scenes set in like a civic town hall arena as well.
Well, the mayor of, we should say, this is about a sleepy seaside town, but on an island actually. It's a sleepy kind of fisherman's island that is beset by this curse, a centuries-old curse.
It's haunted.
And so it's haunted and all sorts of evil things sort of pop up. So it's quite scary at times. It's got some good jump scares and some good scary sequences where people are being chased and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's also just very funny. Let's play a little bit of the trailer. It gives you a sense of it.
I'm Tom Loftus.
Oh,
or Tom.
Nice to meet you, Arthur.
You want to grab some coffee?
No, I'm good. Jerry was just taking me through some of your history.
Oh, that's great. Yes, well, remarkable story.
I was talking to the guy on the ferry, and he said something odd.
What was that?
He said bad things happen here.
There is something about these seafaring towns. The superstitions, their tall tales. I find it charming myself. What town doesn't have a checkered past?
Was there cannibalism?
No.
Definitely not cannibalism.
The tales are not so tall. They're quite short, actually. Yeah. It turns out it is very, very cursed. And there is a haunting going on right at the moment that Matthew Rhys, who plays the mayor, Tom, is trying to attract tourism to the island. So
yeah, he wants to turn it into the new Martha's Vineyard.
Yes.
and he's doomed in that enterprise, really. But he's really great in it, of course, from the Americans and other things. He's such a good comic actor.
He's got such good timing as well. And it's so cool to see him sort of step out of that Americans and the Beast in Me, sort of those darker roles, into this thing where he's also like incredibly flustered. He's someone who has no control of what's going on either.
Well, especially over his teenage son. I love the teenage son character because that dynamic is fantastic. The son is continually just smiling and waving and doing whatever the hell he wants.
As teenagers want to do.
And so Tom Loftus is this, he's at a loose end with his son and he's always trying in vain to sort of impose some kind of paternal authority on his son, and it ain't happening.
It's not. But the breakout character for me is Patricia, played by Cato Flynn, who is like Tom's sort of friend and co-worker. And, you know, she's someone who was born and raised in the town and didn't have a lot of friends growing up. She's got this sort of moment from her past that her contemporaries from that era are still mocking her and bullying her for.
Well, she claims she was targeted by a serial killer known as the Boogeyman.
And survived by hiding under her bed, and everyone calls BS on it. But she is so fantastic in this, and she gets a couple of episodes really that's sort of her story.
Yes.
And they are my favorite episodes.
It's a really well-written show. It scratches that Fargo itch, I reckon, as well, don't you think?
I agree with that.
It's a community of eccentrics.
It's also quite dry at times, and there are moments that are genuinely scary. I mean, I'm really terrible with horror, so when I know something's scary, I watch it on my iPad because I don't want to see it big on the TV. And I did watch this on a smaller screen than usual, but I'm very keen to go back now that I know where the jump scares are to watch it on the 60-inch or whatever size my television is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, I mean, from the get-go, there are these moments where, I mean, there's a lot of haunted house kind of action in it.
Yes.
A lot of ghosts.
There's like a witch. Mm. There is that boogeyman, which emanates in like one of the funniest chase scenes I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's a lot to like about this. It is, I think, about 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm, you're not gonna correct.
Am I wrong on that one?
No, 10 you're right
episodes.
On that
I'm
one.
Right on that one. Good. They're all between sort of 30 and 60. They kind of mm-hmm. alternate quite a lot. They pendulum swing between the durations. And Widow's Bay is streaming over at Apple TV Plus and probably amongst the most nominated shows this year at the Emmys, we suspect. All right, that is it for another episode of The Couch. It's been fun. I'm Jason DeRosso.
I'm Wenli Ma.
See you next time.
Bye.